Good morning. Today's Daf and Baba Kama is Dalet. We're in Gemara Amud Beis. We're going to be starting today Machlokas Rav and Shmuel regarding what is Mave. Okay, Dalet Avos Nezikin. There are four main categories of Nezik, of which then all the other categories of Nezik decompartmentalize and serve as subcategories under the main categories. As far as the main categories are concerned, so that's the first mission, the opening mission of the Masechta. Okay, what is the main category when it comes to Nezik? So if it's a Pasuk in the Torah, so it's a main category. Okay, so now that is an oversimplification, as we just spent 2 days trying to figure out what exactly are the main categories and what's the definition of those main categories. So Arba of Zizik and Shor, Bor, Mave, Haver. So the Mishnah lists them off, and we have spent the last 2 days going over what these four categories are and what are the subcategories, as we're going to be learning over the course of this parak. So each category has its own characteristic and its own set of rules. And the truth of the matter is, like I said, over the first 2 days of the Masechta, the information is going to come to us piecemeal. Okay, in other words, it's not like this systematic, like here's the category, here's its characteristic, here's its rules, here's its exceptions. In other words, we're not going to do it that way. We're going to do it in the style of the Gemara, which is that the information does not all come at once. The information trickles. So we're trickling right now. Okay, and what did we do the first two dapa of the Masechta? So we dealt with the question of Rav Papa. And that we have a nav, we have a tolada. In other words, we know structurally, organizationally, how all this works. They're the main categories and then the subcategories. That part we understand. And told us same kayote behem, or told the same love kayote behem. So how do you understand the tolados? Are they the same as the av, or are they not the same as the av? So what do we have? We have other models of av and tolada. So when it comes to Shabbos, we have av and tolada, and we know that the tolada is just like the av. Legabe, liability and culpability and level of onesh, it's the same when it comes to Shabbos. And when it comes to Tumah, it's not the same. So when there's an Avatum and there's a Talad of Tumah, and they're not the same. So when it comes to Nezik, where do we stand? Is it the same or not the same? So Rav Papa's big thesis that we saw in Daf Beis and yesterday's Daf as well is Yesh V'Yesh. Sometimes they're the same, sometimes they're not the same. So what we did all of yesterday's Daf is that we tried to find where it's not the same. Meaning, really, the default position by when it comes to Avos Nezikin is told the same, Kayotze Bahem. It's the same. Av Nezek and Tolados Nezek, they're going to be the same level and degree of liability. For the Av, you're responsible, financially liable for the damage that you did. For the Tolada, of almost every scenario, of every case, for every Av, so the Tolada is going to be the same. Same degree of liability. Same level of liability. Good. So that's where the Av and the Tolada are. Kayotze behem. So now, where is it not kayotze behem? So that was the punchline of yesterday's Gemara. So on Gimel Amud Beis, where we finished off yesterday, so we said we found one tolada where it's lav kayotze behem. And what is that? Tsroros. So Tsroros, we're going to be hearing a couple of times over the course of this Masechta. What is Tsroros? So it's not direct damage done by the animal, but rather it's the damage that's done by the animal indirectly. Animal stepped on a stone. Force create propulsion. The stone now is propelling and moving in the direction of somebody else's property, damage to somebody else's property. That's Tsroros. And what do we know? We know by Tsroros it's Chatzi Nezek. You don't pay full damages, you pay half damages. Where is that in the Torah? It's not in the Torah. We went over this yesterday. In other words, this halach of Tsroros is halach l'moshe Mitzinai. Okay, good. Where does it belong categorically? Right? It's funny. Right? It's not in the Torah, but categorically it's got to fit. In other words, again, because there's an organizational structure, right? Super organized the way we look at halacha. So in within this world of category, subcategory, where's the fit? So it fits under regel. Okay.
It goes into Shishram what happens then?
Well, again, let's just deal with the broader organizational chart. And then the examples of Tsroros is coming up later, right? The information is going to trickle in. So but in terms of its broader organizational chart, so where Tsroros belong, it belongs under regel, which, by the way, I'm about to say it makes sense. Meaning Tsroros in of itself is a chiddush, but at least within the chiddush, you could see it fitting under regel. Because what's happening, in other words, the animal stepped on the stone, and then the stone went and propelled. Okay. So, right, you could have seen him a little bit like Rama, so it's indirect. No, the halacha is that you're chayev. Ah, but you're not fully chayev, you're only half chayev, exactly the point. So here we have now a tolada regel, where it's lav kayotze behem. So really, when all said and done, even though Rav Papa asserted at the beginning of the sugya, it's yesh v'yesh, sometimes yes, sometimes no, So now, at the end of the sugya, which we concluded yesterday, I'm just wrapping it up. I'm summarizing. So at the end of the sugya, so really, it's not yesh v'yesh. It's most of the time, it's kayotze behem. It's the same. And then, on occasion, and by the way, when we say on occasion, we really mean one occasion where it's lav kayotze behem, and that's going to be tsroros, and that's going to be under the category of regal, even though regal, you're chayv nezek shalem. But when it comes to tsroros, so tsroros is going to be chatzi nezek. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the first two dapim of the Masechta, and now we continue. So mave hever. Okay, so what is mave? My mave. Okay, good. So we already touched on this. We already like took a toe and put it into this water. But now today's daf. Today's daf, daf dalid, is really the Gemara now explaining the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. What is the definition of one of the main four categories of nezikin? This category of mave, what is it? Okay, so it's not clear. In fact, it's a machlokas Amoraim. Now, just to be clear, by the way, when all is said and done, when you shake it out, there's not going to be a machlokas in din. Meaning, it's not that Rav is going to tell Shmuel, you know, I disagree with your definition, and in your and the way you defined it, there's no chiyuv. No. In other words, both shitas are going to agree that there's going to be a chiyuv mamon, and there's going to be a requirement of compensation in both of the whichever definition it is. Both agree that there's going to be a required compensation. It's just going to be a question of how to interpret our Mishnah. When our Mishnah says the word maveh and sets it up as one of the four main categories, what's the definition of the Mishnah? So although we're going to be spending the entirety of today's daf debating, really it's not a debate. It is a debate, but it's not. It's not a debate in din, but it is a debate in terms of just pshat in our Mishnah. Let's begin. Maveh vehever my maveh. So what's maveh? Rav Amar maveh zeh Adam. So according to Rav, maveh zeh Adam. You remember when I introduced the Mishnah on Daf Beis, that's called Shabbos, 2 days ago. So you remember when I introduced the Mishnah. So it's such an easy way to look at the Mishnah. And that is, what is the Mishnah talking about? Property damage. Now again, I say property damage. I know that term can be confusing. I love the way it organizes. It's just the way I'm saying it is not great. Because you think property damage, you think damage that's done to my property. Okay, when I say property damage in terms of our Mishnah, I mean my property doing damage. So that means to say that my animal does damage, my fire does damage, my pit does damage. So in other words, my property is doing damage. It's a great way to look at our Mishnah. But what Rav is going to tell you is it's great, but that only explains 3/4 of our Mishnah. Right? 1/4 of our Mishnah is not property damage. Meaning, according to Rav, mave is when I do damage to other people's property. That's Rav's interpretation of Maveh. And that's Adam. Ushmuel Amar Maveh Zeh Shein. And Shmuel says, no, Maveh Shein. Which means that according to Shmuel, how do you interpret the Mishnah? The way I presented it at day one. Which is that our Mishnah is talking about my property doing damage. So of my property doing damage, so I have Shur and I have Maveh. And those are basically two categories of the animal.
But Shein is a subcategory of Shur, right?
No. No, Shein is its own category.
When we listed the four damages, right?
So we listed the four damages of the Mishnah, right?
So there's shore, there's the pit, there's the mave, and there's fire.
Right. So we're going to learn together in just a moment that according to Shmuel, shore is not the broader category of shore.
But the Chachamim, where did they put Shein?
Well, again, when you say the Chachamim, what do you mean, Rav or Shmuel?
No, whoever wrote the Mishnah.
Right. Good.
Where does Shein fit in this Mishnah?
So it depends who you ask. No, I'm being totally serious. It depends now who you ask. In other words, if you are now the opinion of Shmuel, so Shmuel will tell you that Shein is now going to fall on the shore. All this is we're going to speak all this out. I know it's what's it called? We are actually trying to figure out what is the pshat in our Mishnah.
You just said Shein falls on the shore.
Let's go all this. We're gonna speak no, all
my,
this
my,
out.
My question is on the shore. Why is Maveh separate than Shein, shore?
I'm gonna ask you. Right. Just let's go through the Gemara. The Gemara is gonna speak all this out. All right. Everything you're wondering right now. That's literally what we're talking about today. Okay, good. So Rav Amar Maveh Zeh Adam. So according to Rav Maveh Zeh Adam, and according to Shmuel Maveh Shein, which now means that according to Shmuel. And the Gemara is going to make this point. This is not an original thought. We are going to see this in the Gemara. And that is that the Mishnah over here is super focused. What's the Mishnah talking about? Property damage. My property doing damage to other people's property. Right? In other words, shor is my animal doing damage, and maveh is also my animal doing damage. In other words, the animal really breaks down into three separate categories. We already made this point. Animal could be broken down, is broken down to keren, shein, and regel. Now, hopefully you're wondering at this point in time, and again, the Gemara is going to speak this out. Well, if the animal is broken down to three categories, so then we're missing one in the Mishnah. Meaning shor is one of the three. In a moment, we're going to articulate, according to Shmuel, which one is shor. And maveh right now, we're saying, according to Shmuel, is shein. Okay. And now, fire is fire. That one's easy. And pit is pit. That one's also easy. But in other words, but according to Shmuel, just structurally speaking, organizationally speaking, our Mishnah is fantastic. Because our Mishnah is talking about my property doing damage. Right? According to Rav, it gets a little trickier. Because according to Rav, it's my property doing damage and it's me doing damage. Okay, so it's not, in other words, it's not as unified as according to Shmuel. And again, we're going to speak all this out. So first and foremost, the word maveh. In other words, we're trying to figure out what maveh is, which category it's referring to. What does the word actually mean? So that's step number one. Rav amar maveh ze adam dechtiv amar shomer asaboka vegam lailim tivayun ba'ayu pasuk in Yeshayahu. And Rashi teaches the pasuk. Amar shomer asaboka. So boker is talking about the geula lasid lavo. And gam laila. And that's that's also lasid lavo, but that's the onus for the Rishayim. And im tivayun ba'ayun. So which one are we going to be in? So it depends which one we daven for. In other words, we have to daven for geula. Okay. Anyway, the word ba'ayun means to daven. Good. And who davens? So animals are not davening, meaning you and I are davening. That's how Rav knows that the word maveh is a reference to people, because people daven. Shmuel amar maveh zeh shein dechtiv nechpesu esav niv'u mitzfunav. My mashma. So first we're going to start with the pasuk in Avadja, and everyone here understood the pasuk in Avadja. I doubt it. I certainly don't understand the pasuk in Avadja, and the Gemara gives us a little bit of help. And kedematargim Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef now is going to teach, because that's what Rav Yosef does throughout Shas. Rav Yosef always says targum on Navi, and ichdin is balish Esav itgalyin matmari. So the enemies of Esav. So all the places that are hidden. So what we're going to discover is the matmonav, that which the treasures that he hid in those places. So in other words, the word, right, the word nivu is it's going to be revealed. Now, in terms of what's revealed, teeth are revealed. In other words, teeth, generally speaking, are hidden, and teeth then are revealed. So in other words, the word mava nivu, at least in the Pasuk and Avadja, as understood by Rav Yosef, is a reference to, right, difficult reference, but still it's a reference to something which is hidden and then revealed, i.e. one's teeth, the animal's teeth. Okay, so that is the... That's your textual proof in either direction, Rav or Shmuel. Now, Rav, my tamalo amar kishmuel amar lecha miktani niva. So now, within the textual proof, why didn't Shmuel like Rav? Shmuel didn't like Rav because the pasuk. The Mishnah did not say the word niva. We're going the other way, sorry. Rav didn't hold like Shmuel because the Mishnah didn't say niva. Meaning, if the Mishnah wanted mava to mean teeth, like Shmuel asserts, so don't say mava with a mem. Say niva with a nun. The pasuk that you just cited, Novadja, which is the source proof for Shmuel, that's with a nun, not with a mem. Ushmuel, my tamalo amakarav, amalacha miktani, bo'eh. And if we're talking about mave being davening, like Rav asserts, well, Shmuel says, well, the Mishnah should say the word bo'eh, not with a mem. Right? Im tiva ayun ba'ayu, daven. But that's without the prefix. No nun, no mem. So the Mishnah should say it. So what comes out over here is that the Mishnah's language of maveh doesn't really fit in well, neither to Rav or Shmuel. Michdei, Gemara's next point. So cry lo kamar daike v'lo kamar daike. So Rav maitam lo amar kishmuel. So now the Gemara says, okay. So really the truth of the matter is that the term used in our Mishnah is actually ambiguous. Really, it's not clear. So now let's try to understand it misvara. So we tried textual analysis. Kind of worked out, didn't work out. So now the Gemara says, let's go with Svara. So Tana Shor v'chol mila d'shor. So here's what Rav will tell you. Okay, and this now gets to your point. And that is, Rav will tell you that when the Mishnah says the word shor, you know what shor means? Shor is the expansive term that describes anything associated with the animal. Meaning the Mishnah, when it says, Alvus Azikin, and number one is shor, Shor is Shane, Rego, and Karen, meaning all that's included in Shor. Now, good, we move on in the Mishnah. Then we have Hever, and then we have Bor, and we have Mave. Ah, so Mave's got to be something else, meaning it can't be animal related. Mm. Everything's included in Shor. That's Rav.
Therefore, it can't be Shane.
According to Rav. Correct. According to Rav. That's the Svara.
But again, we learned the Mave has highest.
Hold on. One thing at a time. Shmuel Nami Hatanilei Shor. So now for Shmuel, that happens to me at some point. Meaning, so for Rav, from an argument standpoint, from a Svar standpoint, it's very good that the Mishnah used the word Shor. Because Shor is that expansive term that includes all three of the subcategories of Shor. But according to Shmuel, what do you do with the word Shmur? With the word Shor? So I'm Rav Yehuda Tanashor Lakarno. And Mavilashino. So what the Gemara is going to try to argue, and I admit now this is going to get tricky, is that according to Shmuel, Shor really is a reference to Karen, and Mav is really a reference to Shane. Okay, so the Gemara says, I'd like to think about that. Let's talk it out. Hachi Kamar. So now, how do you read the Mishnah according to Shmuel? So Loria Karen Sheina Nasa Lehezek Kriya Shane Sheisha Na Lehezek. So now when you continue in the Mishnah, because remember, immediately after the Mishnah introduces us to the Arba Avos Nezikin, what's the next line of the Mishnah? Lo hare ashor kare amave. Velo hare amave kare ashor. Okay, now, the Mishnah clearly is saying mave and shor are not the same. That part we're clear about. The Mishnah does not tell us what the definition of either of them are. So we know they're different, but we don't know what they are. So now, this is classic Gemara trying to do its detective work. So the Gemara's argument is, Lori Karen She'ina Nasa Lehazek. Again, this is Shmuel's interpretation of the Mishnah. So when it says that the Karen is different, Eina Nasa Lehazek, meaning, what is Karen? Karen is where the animal takes its horn, puts it, lowers it, and gores. Now, is the animal getting hana from it?
No.
Okay, no. And don't try to figure out that maybe it's the animal's got a vendetta, and psychologically now the animal feels better, releasing its aggression. Okay, that's a human trait. That's not going to be like how animals don't think that way. In other words, hana'a, we look at hana'a very simply. Animal eats, that's hana'a. Animal gores, that's not hana'a. So the Loria Karen Shane Hana has a Kariya Shane Shesh Hana has a. But Shane, on the other hand, so there's Hana. So that's how you're going to touch the Mishnah according to Shmuel. So the Gemara says, what? Valoria Shane Shane Kavanas Lahese, Kariya Karen, Shane Kavanas Lahese. And Shane is not going to be like Karen, Shane Kavanas Lahese. And Karen, on the other hand, sorry. You know, when it comes to Shane, is the animal intent on damaging? No, the animal's intent on eating. And it's not going to be like Karen, where the animal's intent is on damaging. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, great. That's how you're going to interpret the Mishnah according to Shmuel. V'lav kava chomeru, ma Shane Shane kavanas lehezek, chayv Karen shekavanas lehezek, lokol shekain. Meaning, if that's the correct interpretation of the Mishnah, so the argument of the Mishnah then falls apart. Meaning, they're not the same. Okay, great, they're not the same. I got it. But in other words, but when it comes to Shane, and there's no kavana to do damage, and the owner of that animal now is going to pay for those damages when there was no intent for damages, so and that Shane, so by Karen, where there is intent to damage, so surely there should be now a liability and an obligation to pay. Meaning then, basically what happens now is that if this is the way you're interpreting the Mishnah, the argument of the Mishnah has now blown up. Because the Mishnah is saying they're different, and I need both. But now we've just argued. Well, I know they're different, but now that I've demonstrated how they're different, now I don't need both. So that's the kavah chomer. It's the Gemara says no. I'm going to still argue. So sakadat chamina amida dehavi avid v'ama. So the Gemara says, well, what I could argue is that really it's no different than avid v'ama. So the Gemara says, Evid Vama, you know, by Evid Nama, so when they do damage, right? I own an Evid Kanani. I don't own an Evid Kanani, but Lu Yitzu. If I owned an Evid Kanani, so any damage that he does, If in fact my Eved decides that he's going to go with my next door and just simply do damage. Okay. Do I have to pay for those damages? Well, let's think about it for a moment. Did he have intention to do damage? Sure. In other words, let's assume he did. So now, do I pay for it? The answer is no, I don't pay for it. In a moment, we're going to explain why not, but you don't. You don't pay for it. So in other words, so once I put up there the din of Eved V'ama, where I don't pay for damages that are done by my Avadim, so now I see that Kavanos Lahazik in of itself is insufficient. So now that I've shown you that it's insufficient, now I'll go back to the Mishnah. According to Shmuel, now I could say Lo Rize Karize. They're different and I need both. So I'm Ravashi. So Ravashi says, that argument, that's a weak argument. So Atu Eved V'ama Lav Time Rabbi Isbahu. Shema yak nitenu rabo v'yalech v'yali gedisho shachavero. V'nim zezem echayves rabo me'amane b'chol yom ayom. Right. I know I just added a word in the Gemara, but anyway, but the idea is as follows. Eved v'ama, do you know why the Chachamim created a patur, an exemption for the damage done by Eved v'ama? Let's think about it, let's speak it out. Right? My Eved, so what is my Eved? That's my property. Okay. So so when my property does damage, I have to pay. Right? So if my Eved does damage, really, if you think about it, of course I have to pay. Meaning, why wouldn't I have to pay? That's my property doing damage. So why don't I have to pay? An exemption created by the Chachamim. And for the following reason. Because the Eved Kanani, understandably, may not be happy with me. Totally understandably. Okay. So now, if he's not happy with me, so what's his easiest way of getting at me? Creating significant financial loss for me. In other words, imagine all damages that he does, he has no liability for it, and I have now the full liability for it, and I'm going to pay for all the damages that he does. Okay.
So it's an intelligent strategy.
Correct. So in other words, what the Chachamim understood is that we have to create a patur. If we don't create a patur, so then it's going to be chaos. The Eved's just going to do chaos. But in other words, but me'ikar hadin, meaning the owner of the Eved Kanani, of course he should pay. He is required to pay.
But if the owner is not accountable for his damages, what is this incentive for the Eved?
So good. So later on, the Gemara is going to tell us in Baba Kama, we're learning Baba Kama. So later on, we're going to learn that interactions with an Eved Kanani never work out well. Because in other words, because they're going to do the damage and you don't have an address of where to go to.
Could okay. You argue that the Eved Kanani has a dog, unlike the animal?
Hmm? Okay, you could argue that, but in other words, right now we're focusing on...
because it might be one of the reasons...
Right, but we're focusing on Kavanas or Lahazik. So Ella Prechachi. So the Gemara says, okay, so now what we're going to have to do is that we're going to have to ask the following. So we just try to deconstruct the Mishnah according to Shmuel. We try to resurrect the argument according to Shmuel, but the Gemara says, but we haven't. So now we're back to square one. Meaning, according to Shmuel, what do we have in our Mishnah? We have Shane and we have Karen. Karen, there's Kavanah to do damage. Shane, there's no Kavanah to do damage. If I have to pay by Shane, for sure I have to pay by Karen. And I know you tried to bring out the case of Eved V'Ama, but the Gemara says, but that's an exception. That's not the rule. So the Gemara says, okay. Ela Prichachi. So lo ria keren she kavanas al hazik ria shein kavanas al hazik v'lo ria shein sheish hanala zeko ria keren shein hanala zeko. So the Gemara says, in terms of the necessity of both cases, according to Shmuel, it goes like this. When it comes to keren, there's intent to damage. Is there hana? No. When it comes to shein, is there intent to damage? The answer is no. But is there hana? The answer is yes. So in other words, there's the two categories are necessary. Because one has kavana but no hana, and the other has hana but no kavana. Perfect. So now, for Shmuel, we've argued that really the way to properly understand the Mishnah is that sure is Karen, and Mav is Shein, and I need both. So far, so good. Obviously, there's the elephant in the room, and that of course is that we're missing one. The Gemara says Verego Mai, so Shaye. So what about Rego? In other words, when it comes to the animal, so the animal is deconstructed into three categories. So great. So according to Shmuel, so sure is Karen. And Mava is Shane. Great. That's two out of three. Where's Rego? And the Gemara is just going to quickly suggest Shire. And what do you think? You think the Mishnah left it out? Well, that'd be weird. So the Gemara says, well, no, it didn't leave it out. So kishehizik chav hamazik lasuye rego. So the Gemara says because we're going to see a Mishnah Daf Tes, and the Mishnah Daf Tes has a broad statement of kishehizik chav hamazik when it does damage. So now the damager is going to be chayiv. So included in that broad comment on the Mishnah Daf Tes is now rego. So the Gemara says that's great, but listen to behedja. So I hear you, but in other words, Karen, we're singling out. Shane, we're singling out. But Rego, it's just incorporated in that broad statement on the Mishnah Daf Tes. That's weird. So the El Amarava, Tanashor Laraglo Mavilashino. So okay, so we'll try now the following approach. We're trying to learn the Mishnah like Shmuel, and what's weird now, according to Shmuel, is that an animal really breaks up into three categories. The Mishnah is only talking about two of the three categories. So we're going to figure out which two and why the third one was left out. So we're going to try now a second attempt. Now, we know that Mav is Shein, meaning that we have the Pasuk we saw in the beginning of today's Shir. So that one we know about. What's sure? So let's try the following. So Elam Rava Tanashor L'Raglo Mav L'Shino. So sure is Regel and Mav is Shein. V'achi Kamer Lo Ria Regel Shezeko Matzui Kiriya Shein Shein Ezeko Matzui. So the Gemara says, good. So now we have in our Mishnah, Shein, and we have Rego. And why do I need both? Necessary. Necessary because Shein, there's Hana. Rego, it's really common. Your animal walks all the time. And so therefore, for the Nezek, that's common. Oh, that you have to pay for. But Shein is not as common? Maybe not. Shein, there's Hana. By Rego, there's no Hana. Oh, okay, good. So they're necessary. So Vikaren Mai, the Gemara says, great. Now let's move on to the next part of this discussion. So where's Karen? So the Gemara says, Shire. And what are you going to suggest? The Mishnah left it out. That's a terrible suggestion. So the Gemara says, Kishihizik Chavamazik Lasuye Karen. So the Mishnah and Daf Tes. The Mishnah and Daf Tes. So that general statement of the Mishnah, that's including Karen. V'lisne behedja. The Gemara says, fantastic. So, but why leave it out? Meaning, if I'm singling out Shane and Rego, so then why don't we add something specific for Karen? So the Gemara says, "B'mo'adim mitchalas and kamayra b'tamal levesof mo'adim lo kamayra." Because Karen is fundamentally different. What's fundamentally different about it? Unlike Shane and Rego, you have to pay full damages first time. My animal goes into somebody else's property, eats their property. So it doesn't matter that this was the first time that it happened, I have to pay Nezek Shalem. And that's true by Shane. It's also true by Rego. It's not true by Karen. Karen, as we know, and again, all this information, with the Gemara is assuming that we knew all this going in. I kind of feel like we know. But, okay, good. Karen, the first time, the second time, even the third time, the animal is what's called a tam. And tam, you only pay Chatzi Nezek. There are other rules also for a tam. But right now, all we need to know is that you pay Chatzi Nezek for the first times that it does it. Now, once it becomes a muad, then and only then by Karen, is it now considered a muad where I pay Nezek Shalem? So in other words, Shein V'Regel, you're paying full damages first time around. That belongs in the first Mishnah. Karen, on the other hand, you're not paying full damages. That's why it doesn't belong in the first Mishnah. That's a wonderful argument. Ushmo my time alam karav. So the Gemara says, okay, great. That is a wonderful argument. And that's why Karen only comes on the Mishnah Daf Tes. Perfect. So, but the Gemara says, okay. Shmuel Maitam Alam HaKarav Am Lecha Yisag Adacha Adam HaKetani B'Sefer Shoram Mord V'Shoram Mazik B'Rishos HaNizek V'Adam. And not only that, Shmuel says, look, aside from the fact that I just argued why it is that our Mishnah should be understood, Shor being Regal, Mave being Shein, Karen, Mishnah Daf Tes. On top of that, you know why our Mishnah is not talking about Adam? It's very simple. Look at the Mishnah Daf Tes. The Mishnah Daf Tes actually says the word Adam. Adam is only first introduced on Daf Tes. Seems to be a good argument. Am lecha yisak adacha Adam haktani seifa. I just read it. I'm sorry. I just read it again. Shor amur v'shor amazik v'shor sanizik v'adam v'lisne bereisha. So the Gemara says beniske mamon kamayri beniske gufalo kamayri. So the good because our Mishnah over here is talking about Niske Mamon. Okay, I alluded to this point at the beginning of Shir. Here's the Gemara actually says it. And that is that, according to Shmuel, so our Mishnah is super organized in terms of what its topic is. What's the topic of our Mishnah, according to Shmuel? Niske mamon, my property doing damage. Me doing damage, obviously I'm liable, but that's not the first Mishnah. The introduction of me doing damage, that only comes at a later Mishnah. Our Mishnah is only talking about Niske mamon. Rav Nami Hakitani Adam B'Seifa. Now, according to Rav, so now we have to put all of our attention to Rav, and now we're looking at Rav and we're saying, you know, that was a wonderful point. Adam is only is coming in only in the Mishnah Daf Tes, and you're insisting now that Mave of our first Mishnah is Adam. Adam comes later, not now. So Amalar Chav Ha'u Lamachshavei Bahadimu Adam Huda Asa. So Rav will tell you as follows. Mave is Adam in our Mishnah. Why is Mave reintroduced on the Mishnah Daf Tes? Because the Mishnah Daf Tes wants to tell us the following. Adam is Muad. In other words, anytime I do damage, first time, second time, doesn't matter whether or not, which number time it is, I'm always going to be fully responsible, fully liable for full damages. Adam is Muad. Like all the other cases mentioned in the Mishnah Daf Tes. Umay lo hare. So now the Gemara says, good. So according to Rav, how did you understand the next line of the Mishnah? Meaning, according to Rav, so sure. And Mav is Adam. And now, what's the lo re'izeh k'rizeh, according to Rav? Gemara explains. So, hachi kamar lo re'izeh, she mashalim is kofer, k'ri Adam, she mashalim is a kofer. Beautiful. In other words, there's a din kofer, which only applies to Adam. Sorry, let's do that correctly. Which only applies to Shur, but not, doesn't apply to Adam. Okay, kofer. What's kofer? So kofer is that my animal killed somebody. Rachmanus. My animal killed somebody. So at that point in time, so now my animal killed somebody, so I have to make restitution. My animal did it a second time, a third time. Now my animal did it a fourth time. So at that point in time now, the Torah says, you, the owner of the animal, you're chayv misa. You allowed your animal to kill four people. Now, the truth of the matter is that, and Rashi already made this point on Daf Beis, and that is, it's really strange that your animal killed four different people, because normally, what's the halacha? Your animal kills somebody the first time, your animal should be put to death. Okay. The judicial system got slow. Okay. In other words, it didn't take care of it, right? Okay, good. In other words, there are circumstances where it can happen. Okay. It's unusual, but it could happen. The Torah says that if it happens on the fourth time, what's the din? The din now is that the owner's chayav misa, but this is the strangest, most unusual form of misa. You could pay your way out of it. And that is what's called kofar. The halach of kofar is now that when your animal is a muad, having killed four people, so now even though you're chayav misa, you can pay out of it, it's kofar. You're ransoming yourself. Now that's true when your animal kills somebody. It is not going to be true when you kill somebody. That's the low re'i. So that is how now Adam is different than Shur. And now let's go in the other direction. Lo re'i Adam shechai barba dvarim, kiri Ashur shein barba dvarim. And also, how also do they differentiate? They differentiate in terms of forms of payment. When Adam does damage to an Adam, so how many payments are there? We're going to learn that in the first Mishnah of the eighth parak of the Masechta. And that is that there are going to be an additional four payments, five in total. But when an animal does damage, there's only one payment. We'll go over the five payments later in the Masechta. Hatzad Hashav Hashemem Shadarkon Lahazik V'chishor Darkon Lahazik. Now, let's just keep reading on in the Mishnah. Great. So we explained the Lo Re'izeh Re'izeh. Then the Mishnah went on to say Hatzad Hashav Hashemem. And where are they similar? Darkon Lahazik. Chishor Darkon Lahazik. In other words, and now, Shor is Darkon Lahazik. Now, remember, according to Rav, including Shor is Karen. And the Karen is Derech Lahazik. In fact, not that case, not the case at all. In fact, that's why you don't pay Nezek Shalem the first time around, second time around, because it's not Darkon Lahazik. So the Gemara says, Bemuad. Okay, so according to Rav, when the Mishnah is using the word Shor, including Shor is Karen, but really what we mean is Karen, which is Muad. That's saying a lot. Now, Vemuad Darkon Lahazik. So, kevin diayid or chehu. So the Gemara, it's a funny give and take in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, okay, we're talking about muad, but is that darko? The Gemara says, yeah, it's derech. Meaning, I know the animal goring is unusual, but if this animal gore three times, no longer do we call that unusual. You know what we call that? Normal, usual. So Adam darko lahazek. So biyashin. I'm sorry. Adam darko lahazek. So now, according to Rav, Mav is Adam. And now the Gemara says, Adam, darko lahazik, meaning that's really the derech of Adam. That's what people do. People are just these mazikin going around damaging. So the Gemara says, biyashin. Yeah. We're talking about when a person's sleeping. So yashin darko lahazik, the Gemara says, is that true? Kev dechaifa pashit or chehu. So the Gemara says, yeah, because what happens when we sleep, we toss and turn. And so therefore, when we're sleeping, so we are darko lahazik. Okay. Right, you're hearing right now.
It's
not kavanaso lahazik. It's darko lahazik. Okay, good, good. Okay, good. So it's good. So that's how we'll touch up the Mishnah. Now, you know, everyone's hearing right now, right? We're struggling. Meaning, according to Rav, so although we are weaving our way through the Mishnah, navigating through the Mishnah, you're right, we're getting to a point right now where it's a little bit docha, right? The animal is dark or lahazik by Karen. Well, we're talking about an animal that's a muad, and people are dark or lahazik. Yeah, we're talking about when people are sleeping, right? In other words, it's at this point in time, it's a struggle. But obviously, Rav has a shita. It's a mitzvah to defend Rav. So that's what the Gemara is doing. Ushmir san alecha. We're going on in the Mishnah according to Rav. How do you understand shmir san alecha? So Adam Shmiras Gufa Alavu. So the Gemara says, now, Shmiras an Alecha, how do you normally touch up the word Shmiras an Alecha? That's my animal, that's my property. I am responsible to watch it. Now, is that a way to talk about yourself? It's my body, I'm responsible to watch it. It's not wrong, meaning it's a very good sentence, but just people don't talk that way, right? It's my body, I'm responsible to watch it. So now the Gemara says, now Karna. Karna is the name of an Amora. He had a Brisa. In his Brisa, he also introduced Allah Avos Nezikin. And according to Karna, Adam, he actually had the word Adam in his Brisa. So Adam, Shmiras Gufo Alavu. Ela Kedamale Rabbi Abba, Latana. Tini, Adam, Shmiras Gufo Alav. Okay, so now what we'll do is that we'll just simply edit the Mishnah a little bit. In other words, he didn't like the language of the Mishnah. So now, look, Karna had a Brisa. The Brisa said the word Adam and also had the line of Shmira San Alecha. So the edit is Adam Shmiras Gufo Alav. Language is a little bit better. So Achinami, Tini Adam Shmiras Gufo Alav. So much like we did that little edit on the Brisa, we'll do that small edit on our Mishnah. That's how you'll touch up the Mishnah. That when it comes to Adam, I'm responsible for my body. Okay, the language is just a little bit better. Okay, what did we do over the course of the first amud of today's daf? One simple thing, and that is try to interpret the word mave. And it's been one sentence today. That's it. And that is that the machlokus between Rav and Shmuel, how to touch up the word mave. According to Rav, mave is Adam. According to Shmuel, mave is Shane. And then from that point going forward, which fits in better in the Mishnah? And that is, in short, a summary of the first half of today's daf. Maskevler Amari, so the Gemara says, well, maybe Mava, which admittedly is an ambiguous term, maybe it means something else. Maybe not like Rav, maybe not like Shmuel, maybe it means something else. For example, Ve'ema Mava ze Mayim, Mava may be Mayim, ki dechsiv, ki k'toach esh, ha-masim Mayim tive'esh, paskin Yishayahu. Right, we all know it. I exclude myself from that sentence. I wish I knew Yeshayahu. I don't. But anyway, but what do you have over here? The word mayim and esh juxtaposed one right next to the other. So maybe the mava of our Mishnah is mayim. Now, what exactly happened over here? So this part gets a little bit tricky. In other words, what is the nezik of mayim? So I pour water and someone slips and falls on the water.
That's
four. Perfect. So that was good. So that was a terrible example that I just gave because that's boor. In other words, and we're looking for mava to be a new category. So that example that I gave wasn't good.
If you look, that's boor.
So if you look at Rashi over here, im shofech adam imav l'rishot zarabim uva acher v'nitnefu kelav chayev ashofchan. And what Rashi, the way Rashi understands it, is that I pour water, not somebody slips and falls on the water, because that would be bor. In other words, Tosfos says that in Rashi, meaning Rashi specifically chose to give this example, and that is I poured water, and what happened? Someone walked on the water, and his clothing got dirty. Ah. So in other words, the damages over here not come from impact, fall, and somebody hurting themselves, but rather the damage came about by my clothing getting dirty.
Is that a grommel?
And it's funny, by the way, dirty from water. In other words, it must be that the water is dirty water. What? But is that grommel? I mean, in general, boar in general could be understood as a grommel type, even though it's not. Right? Boar is very unique. Boar is very interesting. We'll talk more about it later in the Masechta. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Miksiv maim niv'u tiv'e eshksiv. The Gemara says, yeah, but, excuse me, sorry. If you look carefully at that pasuk in Yeshayahu, kikdoch esh hamasim mayim tiva esh. The tiva is not modifying the mayim. The tiva is modifying the esh. So the Gemara says, okay, maskevar zvid ve'ema mavez esh dechiksiv mave tiva beishu dechiksiv. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine. So maybe a mav is a reference to esh. So iachi mayim mave ve'hever. So the Gemara says, okay, but then you're going to get stuck because in our mission we have mave and we also have hever. And you remember, we just did this 2 days ago. Hever, we assume, meant Eish. Mava can't be Eish and Hever also be Eish. That can't be. V'chitema perusha kamefar Eish. And maybe it can be. Gemara suggests, maybe it can be. So yachi arba shlosha havu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but arba avos nezikin, not three. V'chitema tanashor di'es beitartei. So yachi lo zev ezesh yesh by meruachayim. Eish my meruachayim izbei. So the Gemara says, it can't be. Because if you follow the flow of the Mishnah, what does the Mishnah say? Lo zev ezesh yesh bem ruachayim. Right? They both have ruachayim. You're telling me that ma vezesh, fire does not have ruachayim. It's not alive. It's not a living entity. So esh my ruachayim is bay. Visu my kare ha'esh. And again, just read on in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah then goes on to say, and you know, esh, and the Mishnah there clearly modifying the word hever. Okay, so no. No, mav is not esh. So the Gemara says, okay, so it's not water, it's not esh. So again, we're going to go back to either Rav, who says it's Adam, or Shmuel says it's Shein. Okay, Ad kind of takes us to the end of today's daf. Not really, we're going to do a little bit more for today. We'll do the list of 13. How many categories of Nezik are there? So hopefully at this point in time, as we are now day 3 in the Masechta, so you'll say the correct answer is 4. It is a correct answer, but there are other correct answers as well. In other words, what we're doing over here is that we're organizing, right? We're taking a lot of information and we're making charts and organizing. So, you know, that organization can come in many different ways. And so over here now, we're going to look at another organizational chart, and that is the chart of Rav Oshia. Tani Rav Oshia, Shosha Asar, Avos Nezikin. So Rav Oshia has not 4, but rather 13. So, and what does he do? He adds the following. Shomer Chinam Shol, Nosei Sachar, and Socher. So the first thing that he does is he starts with the Dalet Shomer. Okay? The Dalet Shomer. You were asked to watch something. You took the item. You watched it. You were irresponsible. You did not watch it properly. You're now liable to pay for the damages that you did. Okay? So that's now 4 new categories. Okay? Now hold. I'm sure you're thinking questions. Hold, because the Gemara is probably going to ask your question. Nezek. So that's the actual damage. Tsa'ar. So that's pain when you pain somebody else. Ripui, medical bills. Sheves, disability. Boshes, that's the embarrassment. So that's when one person injures another person. Those are the 5 payments that you pay when one does the other. I said, let's wait till we get to the 8th parak to introduce ourselves to them. I spoke too soon. Let's not wait. According to Rav Oshia, so those are another 5. So we have 4 plus 5, that's another 9. So Arba de Masnesin, and also the 4 of our Mishnah, 9 plus 4, that's 13. So Hatlesar, okay. Vitani didam maitam alotanihani. So the Gemara says, great. So our Mishnah obviously made a choice in not including those 9. Why didn't our Mishnah include those 9? Bishlam Shmuel. So niske mamun kamairi, niske goflo kamairi. So according to Shmuel, I'll give you the perfect answer according to Shmuel. And like I said earlier this morning, for Shmuel, our Mishnah is so focused, right? It's really like, it's satisfying just to look at our Mishnah the way Shmuel does. Because our Mishnah is just talking about property damage, period. Meaning when my property does damage. So now, it's true according to Shmuel. All these other cases are damages. Absolutely. It doesn't belong in our Mishnah because our Mishnah is laser focused on property damage. My property doing damage. So for Shmuel, it's a non-starter. Why didn't the Mishnah mention the Shoal? Because that's not the subject of our Mishnah. Oh, very good. But Ella la Rav listening, but according to Rav now, because what does Rav do? He introduces our Mishnah as one of the four categories of Adam. So the Gemara says, Tana Adam v'chol mileda Adam. So what Rav will tell you is that when our Mishnah says Adam, so Adam is a super category, and really our Mishnah just wants to look at Adam as one super category and does not want to subcategorize. Meanwhile, the Braisa of Rabbi Yoshia, so the Braisa of Rav Yoshia feels that no. In other words, Adam does not belong as a super category. In other words, Adam needs to be broken down.
Let me just first finish the thread, and then I'll pause.
Ula Rabbi Yoshia Nami Hatanile Adam. So the Gemara says, no. So according to Rav Yoshia, so Adam is a super category. So why can't Rav Yoshia see it that way as well? So the Gemara says, Trey Gavni Adam. Because really, what Rav Yoshia will argue is Adam has to be broken down into two. I mean, more than two. But Adam has to be broken down. Why? Tana Adam Dazik. Adam Vatana Adam Dazik, sure. Now, because when we're talking about Adam, what did Adam damage? Adam damaging sure. People doing damage to other people's property. And they're categorically different. And you can't put them all under one super category. And why not? We already know, but let's speak it out. Because Adam damaging Adam, it's not just one payment. It's five payments. Adam damaging Shor, that's one payment. So they're different. It's categorically different. So Ihachi, Shor Nami, let's say Trey Gavne Shor. So let's say Shor Dazik Shor, let's say Shor Dazik Adam. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we do the same thing by Shor? Why don't we break Shor down? My shore doing damage, damaging other people. My shore doing damaging other shvarim. So the Gemara says, "Hi, my bishlam adam dazik shore nezik hu demeshalam adam dazik adam meshalam arba dvarim. Ela shore mali shore dazik shore mali shore dazik adam idividi nezik hu demeshalim." So the Gemara says, "Hopefully you thought this." And the Gemara says, "No, we don't break things down just for the sake of breaking things down. You break them down because there are reasons to break them down." So when I'm talking about Adam doing damage, obviously there is a natural division that exists between Adam versus Adam damaging Adam, where there it's a five payment system, versus Adam damaging Shor, which is a one payment system. But when a Shor does damage, lo mishaneh. Literally, there's no difference whether your Shor damages people, your Shor damages property. It's one payment. So there's no reason to be mechalik. So the Gemara says, okay, no. So, but in Rav Oshia's breakdown, so I understand that you can break Adam into two categories. But then Rav Oshia didn't stop there. Rav Oshia then subdivided into Shoel, Socher. In other words, the Dalet Shomrim. In other words, why do they get their own categories? So Tani Hezeka Dibiyadim Vikstini Tani. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because in our Mishnah, when our Mishnah is talking about Adam, and again, according to Rav Yoshia, what's Adam of our Mishnah? Adam of our Mishnah is, again, this is Rav Yoshia as through the lens of Rav. Adam of our Mishnah is talking about where people do what kind of damage? Property damage. A person doing property damage. And what about Shomer? All the Dalet Shomrim, that's also a person doing property damage. So why break that down? Why break it up? The Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because when a person himself does damage in our Mishnah, that's Mava, that's Adam, according to Rav, that's where they do the damage directly. I take your property and I literally damage your property. What about the Dalet Shomrim? I didn't damage your property. You know what I did? I was just simply irresponsible. That's all. In other words, I was asked to watch it, and despite the fact that I was entrusted as a custodian, I did a horrible job, and it broke. Now, again, I'm a shomer, so I'm responsible. But it's a different category of damage, because that was not biyadim. That was not hezek biyadim. Okay. Here's where we're going to stop. Tomorrow we're going to go to the list of 24, but that's tomorrow. Okay, so what do we have right now in our daf today? Quick summary. Perfect timing. A quick summary, and that is that in our daf today, so we had the definition of mave. In our mission, we have four categories: shor, mave, hever, and bor. So those are the dalet, avos, nezikin. What's mave? So it's Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And we spent the entirety of today's daf, the first half of today's daf, exclusively to the question of which is a better pshat in our Mishnah. When the Mishnah says Mave, according to Rav, it's Adam. According to Shmuel, it's sure, but not sure, by the way. According to Shmuel, it's Shane. Okay, and now, which fits in better into the Mishnah? So that's Amud Aleph. In other words, for me now, to summarize, I'd basically go over the entirety of Amud Aleph. That's the Amud Aleph of today's daf. And then the Amud Beis of today's daf, and that is that number one, entertaining at least a possibility that Mave may be something else. Maybe mine, maybe Eish. The Gemara dismisses those as suggestions. That's not even, it's a worthwhile discussion. The Gemara had it, but no. It can't be anything else. It's either going to be Adam or it's going to be Shane, one of those two. Okay. And then finally, what we did today is we introduced ourselves to the list of 13 of Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia has not four categories, but rather 13 categories. And now question of, well, how does that work? Meaning, why is Rav Oshia coming up with 13 categories as opposed to four? So first we listed what are the 13 categories, the Dalet Shomrim, the five payments of Adam to Adam, and then our Mishnah's list of four. So that equals a total of 13. Now what we then did is that, what's the machlokas between our Mishnah and Rav Oshia? We did that Aliba de Shmuel, and we did that Aliba de Rav. For Shmuel, so simple, our Mishnah's talking about when my property is doing damage. Rav Oshia is incorporating when people do damage. Now, so for Shmuel, it's galat. It's so simple. It's so smooth. But what about according to Rav? It gets a little trickier. But the Gemara does that as well. The Gemara then also explains the machlokas between our Mishnah and the Braisa according to Rav.